debating whether we.
I haven't heard. The only thing I saw was the.
I didn't get here and introduce himself or.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a minute or two.
Well, we can switch these if we don't think she's coming.
Right.
Not solo.
Also would expect not, but.
Okay.
I think that she was, she wasn't coming.
Hate for you to be so far away.
Never understood it.
We're gonna just wait a minute and see if our new commissioner Kent Kirkham shows up.
Awesome.
It's late, and then if not, we'll get started.
Well, the grocery store might go.
Off on? Is that why they're here? Or did you get a copy as well? Or I don't know. They were just sitting here on my.
Yeah. I guess so.
You might ask. I just thought, oh, the thing here.
Okay. I'll ask her afterwards. Welcome to this evening's Planning Commission here for North Salt Lake City. We want to excuse Commissioner Jensen, who's had a death in the family recently, and extend our condolences to her. She'll be missed here this evening. And excuse the mayor's new appointment, Kent Kirkham, who is not able to join us yet this evening. But we're going to go ahead and get started. Your time is valuable, and it's game six of the World Series. So with that said, the first item on the agenda is if anyone is present that would like to make a comment regarding something that is not currently on tonight's agenda, we'd invite you to come forward and state your name and address and express your concern. Seeing none, we'll move to point number two, which is consideration of the site plan for Blue Star Gas, located at 95 Union Avenue. Allie will present to us here this evening. Chris Mastrup. Chris, are you here?
Corey Christensen in presence.
Okay. Corey, so we may have a few questions for you when Allie's done presenting. Thank you.
Okay. Blue Star Gas and Warren Energy Group are sharing the building space at 95 Union Avenue, which is right here where your pinpoint is. Warren Energy has been operating in the city since 2010, and Blue Star began operating last year. And since that time, they've identified a need to expand the building space to accommodate the growth of their business. They're proposing to construct a new building behind the existing office space. So north is to your left here. The building will be 1,280 square feet in size, and it's this one with the hatch marks there. And it will be constructed of metal. Now, this application was submitted prior to our code amendment. They had their application in before the code amendment was passed, so they're not obligated to follow the regulations from the code amendment. They do, however, they are supposed to have a wainscot finish on the building anywhere that's visible from the street. It appears that this may be visible from the street right here. And so the DRC is recommending that any portion that is visible from the street have that wainscot finish. In 2010, a site plan was approved for the installation of these tanks up front. The site plan included plants in the decorative gravel areas and also a retention area to the west of the tanks, this area here. Since that time, the retention area was regraded and nearly all the landscaping was removed. Vehicles have been parking in the landscaping area here to accommodate turning radius for semi-trucks that come through here. So the cars that are parked here would pull into the landscaping area when a truck needed to get in. So no parking would be allowed in the landscaping from here on out. And the applicants informed us that they have informed the truck drivers that they need to change their movements on the site so that people don't have to park on that landscaping. They're adding additional landscaping here in the front, more than was even approved in 2010, with 31 trees. They're going to have a 6-foot-high side obscuring chain link fence that'll be right in front of the tanks here, 20 feet behind the curb and gutter. And they will restore the retention area back to what it was originally approved in 2010. The applicant's proposing 21 parking stalls, which is 3 more parking stalls than is necessary in our code, so they're in compliance with that. And the city engineer has reviewed and approved the drainage plans, so the DRC is recommending approval with the one condition that any portion of the proposed building that's visible from the street must have a 4-foot-high wainscot finish. Do you have questions?
Question, Allie, is this part of the Orbit CDA area? Is this in that landscaping? Or in that map?
I don't know, Ken.
Not sure.
I think it included all of Union.
I think it did.
I think it did include this.
Other questions from the commission? Pretty straightforward. Do we have any questions for Corey? Business is good? Good. Excellent. We appreciate you working here with us in the city.
Now, is Blue Star gas, is it petroleum or is it natural gas?
Any questions? Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission approve the site plan for Blue Star Gas located at approximately 95 Union Avenue, subject to the following condition. Any portion of the proposed building that is visible from the street must have a 4-foot-high wainscot.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Excellent. Next agenda item. Condition of the site plan for building addition for Target Labels located at 95 South River Bend Way, number 4. Jay Jinks is our applicant. Jay, are you with us tonight? Skyler, appreciate you being here. Again, Allie, if you'll take us through it, maybe we'll have some questions for Skyler as well.
Okay, so Target Labels currently is in a portion of the building at 95 South Riverbend Way. They're on the north. They're in the north end of the building. They need to expand their storage area, which is a small area at the north end of the building. The existing building is 31,114 square feet in size. The proposed addition is only 1,061 square feet in size. And it will be, so they already have this lighter gray addition here, or storage room here, and they just need to add this area. The surfacing of the addition will be brick to match the existing building, and will be about 14 feet in height. Previously, there were 4 parking stalls underneath this area that will be removed. One parking stall here will remain, and then the landscaped areas here will remain as well. With the addition, the number of parking stalls required on the site is 55, which is the number of parking stalls they have on the site, so they're okay for the parking. There's no change to the landscaping or drainage on the site, and they do have approval from the Owners Association for the construction in the common area. So the DRC recommends approval of the site plan with no conditions.
Even more straightforward than the last. Any questions for Allie?
Basic question. It looks like it complies with setbacks, and the width for that drive aisle is still sufficient.
Yep. Okay. Yep. It's not affecting the drive aisle, and there's a 0-foot side yard setback in this
zone.
Oh,
great. Okay.
I'd like to make a motion.
Great.
I'm going to move that the Planning Commission approve the site plan for Target Labels, located approximately 95 South Riverbend Way with no conditions.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Excellent. Item number four, consideration for a site plan for structural steel and plate fabrication located at 125 West, 500 North. Taylor Dean is our applicant. Okay, and your name is?
Ron.
Excellent. I guess the World Series is pretty important to the first three people that aren't here tonight. Go ahead, Allie.
Okay. Structural Steel has been operating in the city for many years now. They're just looking to construct a storage building on the site. So they're here kind of sandwiched between rail lines. They access off of 500 North. So this is their entire site here. This is zoomed in. This is the main building and the rail lines right over here. So the building that they're looking to construct is 9,230 square feet in size. It's constructed of painted steel, and it's enclosed on only three sides. This is another one of those that was submitted prior to our code amendment. And then the structure's not visible from the street, so they don't have the wainscot requirement as well. The DRC, in their deliberation, didn't find that this addition would require any additional parking or landscaping due to the nature of the site. It's similar in nature to the Big West Oil storage buildings that were recently constructed at the back of their site. They're not visible from the street and don't increase the use of the site in any way. So basically, they're covering storage, which was previously uncovered. And so the DRC didn't think that it would trigger any of those requirements for parking or landscaping. However, the building does affect the drainage on the site. So the engineering department is still waiting on the results of a percolation test for the site. And the DRC is recommending that become a condition of approval prior to issuance of the building permit. And the Planning Commission is the final approval authority on this application because the building's less than 30,000 square feet in size. So the DRC is recommending approval of the site plan with one condition, that a percolation test must be completed and submitted to the city's engineering department prior to issuance of a building permit.
Make the motion. Oh, we may want to hear from.
Yep. Any questions for Allie first?
Here's a picture of some pictures. So that's facing east and the rail line's here. Rail line.
Everything around it will still remain gravel, no new asphalt. Okay.
Do we have any questions for Ron? He took time away from the TV this evening to be with us.
Well, I was just wondering what they're storing. What are you planning to store in this building?
All right, please, go right in.
We got to keep those heisters dry, right? So I move that the Planning Commission approve the site plan for structural steel and plat fabrication located at approximately 125 West, 500 North, subject to the following condition. A percolation test must be completed and submitted to the city's engineering department prior to issuance of a building permit.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I might just make one comment about structural steel and purposely waited till you were done because I don't want you to think I'm trying to influence the planning commission.
And I thought you were going to give us an update.
One thing you might want to know about structural steel is they've been a terrific supporter of the city's canine program in the police department. They've made a significant financial contribution to the city's police program and are very supportive of that program. It's been a good partnership and they're a good friend of the city, so I thought you'd probably want to know that.
Appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, Allie. Consideration of a conditional use permit for Pele's Automotive located at 625 North Main Street. And I do not see Pele here with us tonight. All right.
Not here. I'm surprised. Okay, Pele's Automotive is seeking approval for an automotive repair shop at 625 Main Street. They'll be doing auto body paint and interior repair and maintenance, which is a conditional use in the MD zoning district. Some of you may remember this business was previously located at 220 South Highway 89 at the Hughes RV site, but they want to move their operations at this time. They'll be leasing half the east half of the building, which is about 1,500 square feet in size, this hatched area there. They're also leasing the storage area to the south of the building, back here behind the building. And they understand that they're required to install dustless gravel in that storage area and install a 6-foot high chain link fence with slats in this area to screen the storage area from the street. The fence can't be located within 20 feet of the public street, to be clear. The parking on this site is kind of interesting. There's not any striped parking on the site. According to the calculations, they would need 12 parking stalls. 12 parking stalls just for the south building, a 180A parking stall for the entire site. So that doesn't even include this north building. There are 6 bay doors on the front of the south building, making it impossible to stripe parking stalls in that location. You can see there, there's no way to do parking in the middle. There is the possibility of putting some parking on this concrete pad in the front, but that would only fit about 3 parking stalls. So the DRC is recommending that those 3 parking stalls on the concrete pad do be striped, and that the west end of the site, if it'll let me go back, will you go back one? The west end of the site here be surfaced with dustless gravel to accommodate any other parking that's needed on the site. They're also proposing to have a paint booth in the building to paint the vehicles once they're done doing the body work. So a building permit for the installation of the paint booth would be required for any new construction. So the DRC is recommending approval with 3 conditions. 1, that dustless gravel must be installed in the storage area and any unpaved parking areas prior to issuance of a business license. 2, a 6-foot high chain link fence with slats must be installed directly east of the storage yard, but at least 20 feet away from the street prior to issuance of a business license. And 3, that 3 additional parking stalls must be striped at the east end of the site on this concrete pad in accordance with city standards prior to issuance of a business license.
Questions?
Yeah, I have a question. So with the 3 stalls per service bay, that would be 9. And I see that we've got dedicated 3. So on that dustless gravel, are we going to have painted? Are we just saying we're going to accommodate 6 cars?
They're not proposing to do any asphalt or anything, so there's not really a way to paint the gravel. So we're just assuming you can fit 6 cars back there.
Is that the way we want to do this?
That's what the DRC is recommending, because they're not coming for site plan review, just for the conditional use permit. So if they were wanting to make an addition on the building,
sure,
which they have talked about, the property owner has talked about adding a building in the back, at that time, then the whole site would have to come into compliance.
Okay, thank you.
I'll make a motion.
You have a question? Oh,
yeah, I had a question here. The portion where it talks about the applicant proposing to have a paint booth in the building to paint vehicles, a building permit for the installation of the paint booth will be required for any new construction. So that is something that does not need to be part of this motion?
That's in the code already. It's a code requirement,
okay.
So that can be enforced.
Okay,
otherwise.
And so the city inspectors are going to be inspecting this paint booth to make sure it's got the proper ventilation, so on, so on.
Yes, the fire department and the building department.
Okay,
thank
you.
Aware.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good. Good question. Others? Commissioner Knowlton, you want to move forward with your motion?
Yes, please. Thank you. I move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit for Pele's Automotive, located at 625 North Main Street, subject to the following conditions. 1, dustless gravel must be installed in the storage area and any unpaved parking areas prior to issuance of a business license. 2, a 6-foot high chain link fence with slats must be installed directly east of the storage yard, but at least 20 feet away from the street prior to issuance of a business license. And 3, 3 additional parking stalls must be striped at the east end of the site in accordance with city standards prior to issuance of a business license.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Last item on the agenda. Ken, what's the score? Still 0-0.
I'm sorry to say that Kansas City has scored a run.
Oh.
What inning are we in?
Second. One out.
They are
Giants
at home.
Giants are in trouble.
It's so. Going to be tough. It is.
It's not usually something we report on, but it's an important.
It is important.
Well, it's important to me.
It's really important to
probably
him.
Probably not important to anybody else.
No, I care.
My son's in Kansas City right now. Ken's
totally
a Giants
care.
Fan,
yeah.
So now we're going to have to care a little bit.
No, it's okay.
All right, so if you'll walk us through.
There'll be a lot of innings left after we're done. So so we put this on the agenda. We don't have a presentation tonight. Jim's wife had a baby. Maybe you've heard.
Oh, what so
thanks for the picture.
Yeah.
So our main guy isn't here to help us, but
so you're DHing. This is good.
No,
right.
We would like to have a good discussion with the Planning Commission. So I would propose on the 18th that we'll come prepared to walk through the code changes, and that gives you some extra couple of weeks to go through the document that we gave you, and we'll have to get one to you, Kirk Kent. Oh, the 25th, sorry, not the 18th. Okay, great.
Okay.
So that continues to be an important project. We are working on some additional code amendments related to it, and we'll be able to talk through some of those also. I wanted to report on a couple of things to you. We have, I think you know that we have received a grant from the Wasatch Front Regional Council to perform some work on the town center and the US 89 corridor. It's through the local resource planning grant program. We're one of the first cities, I think there's four, right, Ted? Additional, there's four altogether, maybe, that received awards?
Yes, four in Davis and Weber County, yeah.
Yeah, so we're one of the first communities to get this grant. We've evaluated 3 consultant groups and we've chosen a preferred group, and we're now talking to them about the scope of work, and then we will we'll make that award. Wasatch Front will make the award. They're the holder of the funds, and we will begin that project, and you'll start to get involved in that project. It's a very exciting project. It will take the work that we did in the general plan for that area and create some very usable products that we can more specific land use plans and scenarios that we can use to attract developers if we want to do that, which I think we will want to do. We can use it in partnership with the CDA project that has been proposed basically along the same in the same area. So that's a redevelopment project area, and there are some tools through the redevelopment agency that will benefit our intentions and support our goals to have redevelopment occur in the area. So it's a really positive project, and we're excited about it. So that's coming along concurrently with this zoning code amendment that we've been struggling a little bit with. But,
and if I could, Ken and the staff knows this already. I was on the selection committee for this. I recused myself from this selection, but you all might be interested to know that among, I forget how many, but many 15-ish applicants, North Salt Lake's application was the top rated application. So, which is a testament to the quality of the product that the city submitted, but also to the attractiveness of this project, of this site, and of all the things that go with it. It's on transit. It's a reuse of land. It's it's a city asking the question, how do we make ourselves better even after we've been built out? And so it was very well received.
So. Good.
Thank you, Ted. And I think the city is really is poised in perfectly to enter kind of, if you will, the next phase of the city's growth and development, which is a look inward, and
right.
You'll see that in other cities along the Wasatch Front as they've looked at which properties are underutilized, which properties can be redeveloped. We have some vacant land in the same area. I think it's an exciting time for any city that's experiencing development pressure but has run out of land. I think we've seen some very creative projects along the Wasatch Front from cities that are in that situation where developers and staffs and others, people who invest capital into private development, people get creative in those situations when creativity is necessary. If you're going to start taking buildings down and relocating things, I think it's a real exciting time for us. We have a pretty exciting project coming up on the Bowling Alley property, which I think we've told you about a little bit, but that's coming through the pipeline now, and there'll be some really great changes in the city center and the downtown area. So I appreciate that. If anyone has, if anyone's come prepared tonight to talk about this item, we certainly could spend some time on it.
Yeah, let's start with Commissioner Baskin, and then I've got a couple to go forward as well.
I just have some questions, Ken. A couple things. I like specifics. Well, how much is the grant amount for?
Our portion is $25,000, so the city's contributing that amount, and Wasatch Front's portion is $35,000, I believe.
And then you said something. I'm not sure if I heard it right. You said the DRC selected the players or the participants?
No, we've amongst the staff, there was a selection group together with Wasatch Front staff, and we had three proposals submitted on the project, and we've narrowed it down to a preferred consultant that we're now negotiating a scope of work with.
Okay.
So that's,
so you had a bidding process?
We did.
Okay. All right.
Yes, we did. So
there was
I know I kind of
panic.
I kind of went fast over that. I didn't mean to. I'm not. I wasn't trying to smoke and mirrors anybody, but we just finished that up yesterday. So,
thank you. So the new code that Jim gave to us on the disk, and he actually printed us in a handout. That's brand new, right?
Brand new.
Okay. All right.
Brand new, and we will plan on spending some significant time on the 25th on that project with you. We'll be better prepared, and I apologize for not.
No, that's fine.
As prepared as we should be.
How as I looked at it and studied it again, how was the map of this study area chosen? I mean, there was a parcel of land that faced Redwood at Robinson that just didn't quite get included, and it kind of cut it out.
Yeah, there's the map is something that we kind of came up with based on our history of business licensing and working with many of the properties that have they have unique problems and characteristics. Some of those problems prevent, as I think we mentioned, we've been turning down some business license applications, and so some of those properties where we continue to have problems, those were certainly logical to include. I think the other thing that we that was important is that this area is distinct and newer than the industrial park that's between Redwood Road and I-15. So for the most part, it's got a different character. It's a little bit higher quality building. If you look at the buildings,
right,
they're a little bit higher quality, a little bit newer. And I think it's a good starting point for a product like this, which will take a lot of elbow grease and a lot of working with property owners to try to induce them into making investment in their properties, maybe with the city's participation, maybe not. But I think it's a good place to start. There's nothing, we could change the boundaries. If you think we've left out a property or a building, we should talk about that. And we certainly could adjust the boundaries if you feel like we should.
Okay. Seemed like Jim also mentioned in one of his previous presentations to us that Discussions have been had with all the landowners, and has anyone expressed interest in taking those long rectangular properties for a potential reuse and trying to divide them differently so that there's,
I think I'll let Allie answer that because she's kind of the boots on the ground person that takes those kinds of calls. And
I assume you're talking about the ones on Center Street?
Yes.
That go clear out to Foxborough?
Yep.
Yeah. Particularly the ones with that hold interest in the paper box building, which is the one directly east of Stericycle, if that kind of orients you. They are interested in subdividing that property. And we had talks with them about some concepts to take 100 North, which is a cul-de-sac off of Cutler Drive, and bring it out to Center Street. And so that those properties would be, all of those properties would be more usable. I haven't seen any proposals from them yet.
Okay.
But that was also a proposal that was in our general plan.
I am talking, though, and Allie doesn't know this, but just in the last day or two, I'm talking with one of the land brokers that's representing the paper box company. So they talked to both of us, you know.
Whoever's here.
Around. But on Center Street in particular, I believe, in my mind's eye at least, I believe we've talked to every property owner along Center Street. A few months ago, we talked quite a bit with Maverick about some new office buildings and made a couple of proposals to them. So there is a lot of interest in there's needs that each property owner has that
right.
are different. Maverick has some needs because they're growing and expanding. The vacant properties that we were working with those owners, that's what precipitated this code amendment. They're still very interested, and they like the urban design concept.
What about Horizon? This 100 North would impact their back lot?
Yeah, it will, and it could. Horizon is they're a group that are pretty content with the way things are. I think. So,
I think that's safe to say.
They only use the back lot for leasing. They lease it out to trucking companies to park there. So, I mean, that's easily fixed.
I think
that's a good
solution.
Change the revenue stream because you're not going to be able to store as many trucks if you have a road through, or we have to have fencing. I mean, we have to do something with Horizon's back lot. And so, I mean, it would just be an impact, but it'd be an improvement to the area. That's for sure.
I think
at least there's not a structure there.
Yeah.
We haven't had a lot to offer those property owners that have really good properties but that are way back off Center Street.
There's a
lot of things you could do. You could combine properties. We could do another road system, which would create new frontages and new accesses. There's just a lot of things we've considered as a staff, but so far I haven't been able to go to the Horizon property owner and say, hey, this is a good idea, let's partner on XYZ, because we don't have that yet. So that's partly what we're trying to do.
And would you just extend the cul-de-sac, or would it come through the paper box back to Center Street?
I'm not sure how they would design it.
I don't think we've decided. I mean, we've talked about different options. We haven't really studied those. but certainly either of those options are feasible.
Would you run into too long of a cul-de-sac with the fire department?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't.
They just have to have a turning radius.
Well, no, we have a limit in our code about how long a cul-de-sac can be, and I'm worried that would be a problem if we don't pull out through the paper. I mean, we could do an exception or something.
Could be.
But
paper box, the broker with paper box talked to me about the idea of doing a cul-de-sac on their own property as well, just coming from Center Street and not including the other properties. So
wouldn't be as good.
Right.
Those may work. It just depends on the land use pattern. I think if we're going to add any more residential, then additional circulation routes become
required. Yeah.
I think if we're talking about large non-residential parcels, maybe more of what you see but better buildings, then I think cul-de-sacs become, normal and feasible, even desired maybe. If we keep all the heavy traffic on Center Street and Redwood Road, except where they have to turn in to go to their place of business. So there's different ways of looking at it depending on the land use plan. So
and then maybe just Lisa, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm going to ask another question unrelated.
Please.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Maybe just kind of a last follow-up question here. The whole idea is to essentially create an urban feel where the residents of Foxborough have a place to that looks nice aesthetically with landscape to walk and bike, and it'll be well lit, and you know, even though the businesses may be closed, most likely in evening hours. Is that kind of the objective here? I reread through his challenges and looked at, you know, the primary objectives, and am I restating that correctly? Did I have a proper understanding?
Those are some of our objectives, yes.
Okay.
I think that we also have specific objectives about individual sites. So that is incentivizing the use of landscaping.
Okay.
Better. And we have some terrific examples of good landscaping in this area.
In that area, yeah.
But we have some
the
areas
other end.
That need attention. And so I think all of those things are important. It could be a really pleasant place for people to bike and walk after hours. That is when the truck traffic dies down and the commercial traffic in the evenings is gone, you know, employees leave. It certainly could be a place for people to bike down to the Center Street Trail or the Legacy Parkway, or you know, it's a connection to Foxborough for sure.
Is there any chance of seeing any retail in this new area that we've talked about?
Yes, I think
okay.
so too.
Okay.
Ken, a couple questions, and this is crossing the street. For my first question is, the beginning of the year, there was talk about the city having UDOT do a study on an off-ramp. Has that ever came back?
Yes.
Is that something you're still considering?
We are, and the city and UDOT have entered into an agreement to put up funds to do a study, a transportation mm-hmm. study, which is what you're referring to, and we have a kickoff meeting in the third or fourth week of November. I'd have to look it up on the calendar, but it's taken us almost a year to get the kickoff meeting, but it now seems to be moving ahead. So,
okay.
So we will be doing that.
Okay. Then my other question is the ground across the street to the south of Center. Is there anything whatsoever that is happening there? Is there any speculation? Because you know, in this conference that Richard and Ted and I went to, there's so much talk about, you know, town centers and stuff like that, and I might have some neighbors that would want to kill me, but that sounds like an such a great thing that could happen to our area if we had that type of situation over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a mini station park or something like that. You know, is there any thoughts or talk about that yet?
We worked a long time with the property owner on a land use proposal, and it's been over a year now that the property owner and the city kind of got up from the table and walked away from mm-hmm. those discussions, and so. I think those things might be possible, but we have contact with the owner. I talked to the owner a month ago, but we're not actively pursuing a development plan at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I have a question, and I think you may have informed us earlier, for previous meetings. But if you refresh my memory, where are we with regard to Deer Hollow Park, which is the park that may have the ADA?
Yeah, so Deer Hollow Park is complete except for whatever recreational equipment we're going to put back in the park. So we've been required, in order to get funding through the Community Development Block Grant Program, to prove that we are serving a low and moderate income population in the area. that has caused us to do a couple of things. First, we started and we have sent out a survey, which is typically how these how this data is collected. I can't remember how many you've sent. Do you know off the top of your head how many survey?
Probably 30 or 40.
We had submitted a survey area to the county and hadn't heard from them in weeks. And we got so anxious that we went ahead and sent the survey out. And then almost within days of sending the survey out, the county gave us a call and said, we don't like your area.
Oh.
So it's not that these surveys, that what we've done is bad data, but we do need to expand the area.
I see.
And get their buy-off on the area. So that's kind of probably too much information, but
no, that's good.
But that's where we are, and we're now looking at expanding the area and seeing if we can't get approval from the county on the new area.
And let's just say you don't. we don't get the CDBG grant money. Will we still get park equipment?
I think that is a great question, and it's one that we have thought about also. And I think the sooner we can get to that answer as to whether or not we qualify, the quicker we can make a final decision or have a resolution on the equipment. I don't speak for the city council, but I know that we don't want to just call the project finished without park equipment. You're on the council. Maybe you can answer that. But
I think that would be a very good opinion of the city council. Yeah. I think that we want to finish it and we want to do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you got 1 in 5 votes. But
So it may still be an ADA compliant piece of equipment. I wouldn't speculate as to whether or not we would abandon that idea or not. So. But I know that all involved, including the council, have a desire to put something back in that park.
I think it'd be a big win for the city to have an ADA compliant park. I mean, I don't know if that's where we end up, but that'd be a big win, I think.
I was contacted. Oh, sorry.
Oh, there aren't very many in the county, and I think that would be a big win.
I was contacted by one of your neighbors, I think Lisa, who is involved in the organization Autism Speaks. And she was very interested in being involved. So, and she said there may even be an opportunity for some type of funding if we didn't get the CDBG funding. So there's that option as well.
Great.
So in terms of when my neighbors ask me, once we get the survey completed and we expand that area with enough data, then you go back to the county and then have a sit down and decide whether or not you're going to get funding through the grant monies.
Yeah, so the next steps are these steps. We have to get an area approved by the county. We have an area that we've started the survey in, but it's not a large enough area, so we have to expand the area, get the county to approve the area, and then we will expand the survey into that area, whatever's approved. Then when all the survey results are in, it's fairly easy to determine whether we qualify or don't qualify.
What percent have to be low and moderate income?
The answer to that?
I think it's like
40%, I think.
Oh.
35, maybe.
I think it's closer to 51.
50.
Yeah.
It's high.
Hey, that's informative.
We lost some philosophical discussions with county staff on that. So, anyway,
I had some questions on the design standards.
Yes,
just wanted to make. I don't want to we'll be talking about this again, but one of the statements is that we have a lot of standards and we have a lot of guidelines, and that a standard may be grounds for denying an application, where a guideline is something that we would like to have happen. I was wondering about that denial process. Is the idea in this that city staff will deny prior to coming to the Planning Commission and the City Council, or would it be that the DRC would recommend denying a site plan or whatever, an addition, because it doesn't meet a certain standard? And I was wondering if of how that would work or in that process. I mean, it doesn't really explain that, and I don't know if it needs to be detailed out.
It does.
But I that seemed vague, but I was wondering what kind of your thoughts were, and maybe this is a question for Jim.
That it's a little vague, and we've talked about this amongst ourselves. With one of the sticking points was we put this draft together, and so I would agree that I think it's best to have a process outlined so that everyone knows their proper roles, and I would suggest just my opinion. The more specific we can write this code, the easier it will be for the city staff to bring forward applications that the Planning Commission and City Council will be comfortable with, that would get closer to the mark or the center of the objective. Some of this is very subjective, and that's, I think you're probably feeling some of that as it's written.
Yeah.
It's pretty subjective. I get that when I go through it. And I find myself wondering, you know, how are we going to evaluate these and say this is good but this isn't, and bring those forward so that they have so they can be done in a realistic way, in a meaningful way, and achieve what we're after. That's a hard question right now, but I think it's one we need to answer.
And another question was, in the landscaping section, it talked about a standard of 25%. And I was wondering about the feasibility of that in a lot of these lots where we have existing uses that are at 10%, mm-hmm. and we have parking standards, and we have, you know, and I know that the whole point is we're trying to redevelop, we're trying to change it. So I don't want to just leave it how it is, but I'm a little bit worried about how that will be feasible for some of these builders and these landowners.
Yeah, that's a great question as well. And I'm not sure that a straight percentage is really going to achieve what we want it to achieve. And let me explain what I think that means. I believe that the look that we're after and the feel that we're after, the beautification that we're after, is less about quantity and more about quality. And so I think we need to achieve that in the new regulations. We need to reward quality versus quantity, and I'm not exactly entirely sure how to do that, but if we had really superior design, formally landscaped instead of just a big patch of grass, you know.
Yeah.
But we're talking probably about some intensive landscaping, intensive treatment near buildings and near streets. But it doesn't have to be 25%, in my opinion, if it's done right. It might even be less than 10%. It might be strategically located, but intense enough and of high enough quality that we think it's great at less than 10%.
We
need to achieve that somehow in the code.
I remember a few months ago we dealt with, you know, the Planning Commission can grant an exception to the percentage based on intensity. Mm-hmm. And when we tried to do that in practice in a difficult situation, I don't think we necessarily got the best outcome in that situation. And I think we got a good outcome, but I don't know if necessarily think it was the best.
Yeah.
I think the intensity and that agreement and that deal maybe didn't come out the best. And so I think as a general rule, I'm a little bit wary and just say, okay, Planning Commission, let's focus on intensity, when I know that in recent months that was very difficult to do in practice when you have applicants, you know, that have a design and this is what they think is right, and we have something else in mind, and when it's subjective like that, you know, that was very hard. And so I'm worried about that 25%. And I remember in the past, Jim talked about, okay, edge of property space or something, and you have a 25-foot building setback, you know, X percent has to be landscaped, or and you have a 15 side landscaped or whatever, because those are built in there too.
Yeah.
And maybe we change that landscaping section to meet that some other way, because 25% could mean you have a huge retention pond in the back of your building, which I don't know why I'm requiring that of somebody. I mean, you need to retain, but why are we requiring them to grass 25% of their back lot when they could have so much more of an economic impact if that wasn't the requirement? So I'm a little bit wary about that section.
Yeah, it may be necessary for us to come up with a landscaping guidebook, which some cities have done, which have illustrations. They actually show here's a side yard situation, here's a front yard situation, here's a situation next to a parking lot, here's a retention or detention pond situation, and we actually call out and show illustrations of here's some things you could choose from that would be acceptable to the city in a sort of a design guideline or a design booklet. That's complicated, but that might be what we need to do here too.
Yeah,
we'll put some thought to that between now and then.
I really like the idea, because it needs to be addressed, and there are builders in this area that have a beautiful landscaping and beautiful trees, and their building is aesthetically pleasing, and there's others that it's not, and I think that we need to find a way to be able to help to establish that. Okay, I had a few other questions, but I just have to find my note here. In the loading bays area, it talks about screening and loading bays from public corridor, and many of the buildings are built in a way that that's not how they're currently established. So in practice, are we telling a builder to that? I mean, in essence, are they redesigning their building and building those bays in the back entirely, or how are we going to do it? It's set up as a standard that we can deny the build if the loading bay is in the front. And then it also says you can screen it from view. So are we saying build a wall or plant trees to change it? Is that kind of the in practice what we were thinking?
Yeah, I think the one way you could think of this is to imagine how these regulations apply to new development versus existing development. And I think it's much more problematic, of course, if we're talking about an existing building that we're going to make nonconforming, legally nonconforming, by doing some of this, perhaps. But keep in mind, there's a couple of things that come into play. Number one, we've written it so that it's voluntary on an existing building or a property. So property owners don't have to rezone their properties or enter into this if they don't want to or don't think they can achieve these regulations, you know. So it's voluntary. Secondarily, I think on new properties, we would certainly apply those principles.
Yeah, and I think it's a great principle on a new property,
so
for sure.
I think that's where we're going to see the most change is on new development.
Okay.
But if we had a good code, maybe with a good landscaping guidebook or some other tool that we could use that was understandable and usable, you know, we'll start working with property owners to improve their properties, existing property owners. But I agree, there's some situations when you go out there and you look at some of those buildings and there's loading docks right in front and you think, wow, how's this going to...
No, I drive Robinson every day, and I think I'm not quite sure how some of these will work.
Yeah,
I want them to work because that building isn't, you know, some of those buildings aren't really compatible with what we want.
Right.
But and I'm not an architect. I'm sure they're going to figure out some awesome way and to change these entrances. But I do think that especially for the new construction, would be good. And if we brought 100 North around and we had all new buildings going in there or something, we need this established. And so that was the other question I had is, I know it's voluntary for the landowner because then they can do any use in there. But we frequently get new construction proposals for, you know, this general commercial area that we don't really think fit general commercial. And I'm worried that if we bring in, you know, that 100 North, or we did something, we opened up a lot more frontage, maybe landowners aren't going to want to voluntarily opt into this option. And so I think the voluntary works really, really well for existing land uses that they're not going to be able to change it. But if we have new vacant parcels or open up new frontage, we might need to find some way to make it required.
So your suggestion is perhaps the city would be proactive in zoning vacant property to this new zone if we felt like that was.
I think that I would be very interested in that, because the whole point is to protect the integrity of the area, and our best bet is with vacant property, and then that way we're not limiting an existing landowner that's, you know, invested millions in our city and making it so that he can't make any changes or modifications without completely destroying his building. That's not fair. But if he wanted to come up to code, then he could. But then new construction would be then part of this from the get-go. And I think that might be an option to consider, or a way to look at it and see how we could do that.
I think that's an excellent suggestion. And we'll take another look at that. We've done a lot of work on existing conditions, but we'll take another look at it and see what sorts of opportunities there are. I think that might be something that could be valuable. That is, city-initiated zoning changes in certain situations, and we could probably talk through some of what those are.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm done.
Excellent. Other comments? Questions for Ken? Okay.
Thanks. Just had one other business item. It may be that we have a need to hold a meeting in a couple of weeks, but November 11th is Veterans Day, and so we sort of canceled that meeting. I don't know if there's
a... Don't you think we should have them come in?
Not that I'm not willing to.
Yeah.
I'll be observing Veterans Day in my special
up in our pajamas.
Way. But if we need to have a meeting, it would be probably a quick meeting. I don't know if Wednesday or Thursday or Monday or...
Okay. During that same week, just...
During that same week. Just think about that, and we'll keep you posted if we need to have a meeting. I don't think right now we will, but we do have one application that is a little problematic that we may not want to leave for a full month. And so we'll make that decision probably this week and let you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we've got just a couple of items here left. Maybe before we go to approval of minutes from our previous meeting, welcome Commissioner Kent Kirkham. Happy to have you.
Thank you.
Perhaps you could just introduce yourself to the rest of us briefly.
What would you like to know? I lived in North Salt Lake since 2000.
Okay.
I have five daughters, empty nester now, one on a mission, one at BYU.
Okay.
Got one dog that's about ready to give up the ghost. We hope she hangs on another year or two.
Okay.
I've been a builder all my life. Started out as an electrician as a young man, and became a general. Still involved with United Neighbors of the City.
Yep. And you live in Eaglewood.
I do.
Okay. Welcome.
Okay.
Happy to have you.
Hope I can be a contribution.
You bet. Okay. Let's take a look at the last meeting's minutes, dated October 14th. Any concerns with page one that you'd like to see changed?
Line 30, I think there's a period in there somehow that looks funny.
After West,
there's a period. if it's a period and it's supposed to be there, maybe you go double space, Jared. Okay, because goofy.
Okay. How about page two?
I have one. It's not a huge deal. I had some questions and comments that I made that didn't make it into the minutes. And if somebody was going to read the minutes, I'd like them to be added in. So I kind of wrote what I kind of remember that I said, but, you know, my memory might be flawed a little bit. But I asked two questions on this tower because I wanted to know if they could co-locate onto Center Street. And he said they couldn't because they were already located at Center Street. So that wasn't an option. And I asked if he could co-locate with a billboard because I've seen that elsewhere. And I think we already have a big structure and we don't need a new one. If we've got a billboard, maybe we could co-locate. And the applicant, Jared White, said that makes it very difficult to co-locate on a billboard because the billboard owner is leasing the land from a different owner. And so they can't sublease, and he says it makes it very difficult. They usually only pursue that if the billboard and the landowner are the same person. And so I didn't feel like that was grounds to try to force it in that situation. But then my goal was, I hate building new towers because I think they're ugly unless we can find other solutions. And when I searched these other two solutions, it looked like they weren't going to work because they were already co-located and the billboard wasn't going to be an option. So I thought it was good to approve. But if someone was going to read the minutes, I just wanted it known that that was kind of my push. So I don't know if you want to listen to it, and I'm not super eloquent. So however you write it, I'm sure is fine. I just wanted it included.
Okay. Page three. Any changes to page four? Five?
On four,
line number
135. It says require retention ponds and that nothing should drain into the river. Should that be replaced? That should with would. Nothing would drain into the river rather than should.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would is better. Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise he's like, well, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing should, but who knows?
Yeah.
Oops, it did. Too bad. Okay. And I do remember you asking that question. How about page five? Six. Seven. Page eight. And page nine.
Oh, I had something back on seven. I apologize.
All right.
On line 235, it says the Planning Commission recommended several changes to the amendments, including exception of publicly owned and operated utility buildings, the possibility of allowing certain types of metal and sidings, blah, blah, blah. I just thought the way it was worded made it sound like we were recommending that the city was exempted of publicly owned and operated utility buildings, which my recollection of the discussion was to discuss that and then propose that it not be exempted.
That's
except
right.
Add in. And so I just thought the wording in here made it seem, I think it'd be
right.
Easy to appear that we stated that differently. And I know as you read the whole thing and you can kind of understand what was going on, like we had a discussion about this, but I thought the discussion we had was to change the exception to make it reviewed by the Planning Commission and the City
we
Council.
Did.
And so I just thought we should reword that somewhere. But I don't know how to reword that exactly. And maybe a nice wordsmith could do it. But I just thought it could be something like the Planning Commission recommended a change to the amendment or a change to the exception of publicly owned and operated. However, so that it has to be reviewed
could
by
we,
the City Council
could
and Planning Commission and City Council.
Just as a suggestion, after the word building, so we have exemption of publicly owned and operated utility buildings, and in parentheses, with Planning Commission and City Council review and approval.
Yes.
That's great.
Good catch.
I should have reported to the Planning Commission that it was approved by the City Council.
Okay. And then maybe at the end of line 318, just add a little bit there, would you, Andrea, that says that for those two future developments that I would and will or will recuse myself from any discussion when those come to
that's
the planning commission. Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move that the minutes from the planning commission meeting on October 14th, 2014 be approved as amended.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Maybe just two last housekeeping notes. Anybody see anything wrong with the roster that was handed out? Every name, address, telephone numbers, is everything correct on the most recent one issued on 1022?
Yes.
Okay. Great. And then lastly, if you've read through the bylaws, they were 1996. So if there is a meeting where we have some time and you want to open that up for discussion to maybe make some updates and amendments, I'd encourage you to take a look at that as well. So with that said, Ken, Allie, anything else? Well, thank you for staying. That was very stalwart of you. We failed to tell you that you could leave after your item was done if you wanted. We weren't keeping you hostage, but thank you. We appreciate it. So motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Excellent. Glad to have you.
Good to see you again.
Yes, indeed.
Get home to your game, huh?
Yeah.
Allie?
Nice to meet you.
Okay, thanks for coming.
So, yeah.
Sure.
So you can score. And then our copier has been on the fritz this week, but I was going to get you a copy.
It's going to go.
So it's like that.
No,
I'll give that to you.